Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Looking at this morning, what is that good part? Luke chapter 10. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Luke 10 and verse 41. Luke 10, 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that what? Good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, what is that good part? Well, we're going to wait for a few minutes to see what that good part is. But we're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter here to verse 1. Luke 10 and verse 1. And the first point is, what was that good part for the 70 disciples? What was that good part for the 70 disciples? Verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is what? Great. But the laborers are what? Few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now we read in the Bible that God chooses 12 of all the disciples and calls them apostles. And if you hold your place here and turn back to chapter 6, Luke 6:12. We see where that took place, Luke 6:12. The Bible says there, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued what? All night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his what? Disciples. And of them he chose how many? 12, whom also he named what? Apostles. So the Lord, out of all of his disciples, chose 12. He called those apostles. Apostle means a messenger or one that is sent, a sent one. And then it lists all the names, starting in verse 14. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. So their names listed there. Those names are familiar to us, but the 70, back in chapter 10 and verse 1, these 70, the names are not listed. You know, at times we may feel like we are so worthless. What is our name? But these 70 were sent forth. We don't know their names. And yet they were important to God. He sent them, verse 1, two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And you know, we are much like those 70. We are not out there bearing our names, are we? We are out there bearing his name. And so it really doesn't matter if they don't know our name. We know the 12. We know the name of them. But the point is these were out bearing the Lord's name. That's the important thing, whether our name is known or unknown. So the 12, those names are familiar to us. The 70, they are not. And yet they were needed. God chose them. So the Lord chose 12. The Lord chose 70. 12 and 70 is what? 82. Okay? So, is there any more room for us? I mean, would you like to feed 82 for lunch today? Anyone ready to feed 82? I don't think so. is there any more room for us? I mean, 82. Why would God ever need more than 82? Yes, there is room for us as well, because verse 2 says, therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is what? Great. But the laborers are what? Few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So the 12, we know their names. God found necessary to call 70 more. We don't know their names. But surely 82 is enough, right? No. He's telling them, verse 2, pray for more. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. And you know what happens to our hearts when we pray that prayer, verse 2? I mean, he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what happens when each of us begin to pray that way? Sooner or later, we're going to have to ask the question of what? Do you want me, Lord? Do you want me to go? That's what happens. If you've ever faithfully prayed that prayer that God tells us to pray in verse 2, that is the question that comes to us. I know, because when I started praying that prayer years ago, it finally hit me. If I'm praying for the laborers for the harvest, and if the harvest is great and the laborers are few, then I guess I should ask the Lord, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? And that should be each of us. Each of us should be praying that prayer. And when we do it in sincerity, we have to come to that conclusion. Lord, what do you want me to do in your harvest? That's only reasonable. Hold your place here, if you would, and turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12, that fits right in well with Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Reasonable service. When we realize what God has done for us, that truly is the only reasonable thing we can do. And when we say that, Lord, what do you want me to do? He may lead us to a foreign country. He may lead us to stay right in our home area. But whatever he leads to do is his will and will be best in his will. Notice with me in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. Here was a man whose life had been transformed by the Lord. And you know what came to him immediately? I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Wherever you go. In Mark 5:18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might, what? Be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him, what? Not. But saith unto him, what? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Well, this man wanted to travel with Jesus, and in this case, Jesus said, no, for you, I want you to go back home, and I want you to tell the people how great things God hath done for you. You know what? You may say, but I don't know how to witness. Well, you know what? If you've been saved by the grace of God, give your testimony. That's what Jesus told this man to do. Tell him what God did for you. Tell him how you came to know me. Notice in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah came to the same conclusion. It's, Lord, do you want me? What do you want me to do, Lord? Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 8, Isaiah 6, 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, and this is Isaiah speaking, he said, what? Here am I, send me. So Isaiah came to that conclusion. Well, how did he come to that conclusion? Well, if you look at the previous verses, look in verse 1, Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And you know what causes us to look ahead of this simple life, day by day? You know what causes us to look ahead? Death. Our loved ones die. Our friends die. And it suddenly helps us to get things in better perspective. What is important, really, in life? What is important? So it was in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon what? A throne. You know, and that gets us thinking, you know, one day we've got to answer to God. I was just saying to my wife this week, you know, we've had some really high profile cases that have taken place in the last few months. There was a man that was accused of immoral trafficking. And he was, for years, finally he's apprehended. He flies into this country, they arrest him. He's brought before court and he's put in a jail cell in New York and mysteriously dies. And for years there had been talk about this man, what he was doing. Then for the last few weeks in New York City, there's been a high-profile case about a Hollywood movie producer that rumors have circled about him for years and years. And finally, they come out with charges against him, and there's a court case against him. And I mean, some of these people that are just so rich and so powerful and seem like we're always so untouchable. Both of these men were up in years. Finally, they're being caught. They're being brought before justice. And so I told my wife, I said, you know what God is doing? It's not only this prophecy in relation to Israel, you know, receiving all of Jerusalem and receiving these other key parts of Israel, and they deserve all the parts, all the land. But some of these key prophecies and these certain countries that are aligning together against Israel, we are seeing these prophecies, and as Christians, we're saying, surely, the time is drawing short. But as I was talking to my wife on the other side of it, God at the same time is giving the lost a picture of what they're going to face. Because, you know, they're looking at these wealthy, wicked people seemingly getting away with everything for all these years, suddenly being brought to justice. God is giving them a picture. Listen, listen, these people that you elevate to these high positions, you know what? They're not all that you thought they were. And maybe you knew how wicked they were, but thought they were getting away with it. Well, guess what? They're not. They're being brought to justice. And so, my wife, what a picture to the lost of these powerful people falling and being brought to judgment. And, you know, the lost, it should wake them up and say, you know what? They didn't get away with it. And you know what? I'm not going to get away with it either. This is a picture. You know, we talk about types in the Old Testament. Pictures, illustration of Jesus Christ. God is giving some types, some illustration right now to the lost. He's giving them ample opportunity to think about what they're going to face if they don't get right with Him. How many will respond? I don't know, but Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. A throne is the place of a king who is in charge of judgment. And it says, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Verse 2, above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. These creatures, we don't see their faces. We don't see their feet. They cover them in the glory and the presence of God. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said what? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. In religion today, there is missing that holiness, is there not? To them, Jesus is just a good buddy. I don't know how many times I've read or heard people say, if Jesus were here today, he would be a rock and roller, and they describe Him as having all the worldly things that the world has. They are so wrong. They have the wrong Jesus in mind. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We are living in a day where verse 5 isn't too common. We want to go to church, or we want to go to religious meetings where we are wowed, not woed. We want to go where it's a good time. We don't want to be brought face to face with our Savior. And when we are, verse 5, it's woe is me. I remember when the Lord touched my heart about preparing for the ministry. Usually the first thing I'd say to my pastor each Sunday morning is, are you really going to let us have it today? That's what I said to him. I don't remember exactly what he said, but anyway, he knew I was hungry for the truth. Preacher, are you going to let us have it today? I wanted to hear from God. I didn't want to be lulled to sleep. I wasn't coming for a good time. I was coming because I wanted to know what God had for us. And that's how Isaiah was feeling after this confrontation in verse 5. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And from that, woe, he sees his condition. Verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, what? Here am I, send me. What preceded him saying, here am I, send me? It wasn't that Isaiah had been to a big party. Isaiah had gotten a vision of the Lord, His holiness, His power. When Iran shot those missiles at our base over there in Iraq, they said there were no casualties, but maybe no cuts. But a lot of these soldiers had terrific concussions, and many of them are still suffering from it, from the explosion, the power, and the shaking of those missiles that came into that base. They were in a bunker, but they didn't escape the shaking, the horrible shaking they faced there. And Isaiah, when he came to the point where he finally gave himself to the Lord, it was not because he had been to some big party, it was because he had been shook up. That's what verse 4, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. What would it take in our lives to shake us up and get us thinking different? We need to pray for those soldiers. There can be really long-term effects from bad concussions. We need to really pray for our soldiers, but no doubt this has changed some thinking about safety factors. Not just being in a bunker, but maybe the bunker needs to be deeper. Or, you know, maybe when there's incoming missiles, maybe there's some other gear they need to be wearing. I don't know. But I know one thing. When we see the holiness of God, it will shake us up. And we'll see what life is really all about. And it will affect whether we say yes or whether we say, sorry, Lord, I'm busy. last night we got some pizzas for the Sweetheart Banquet. And when we got in there early, a half hour early, and the place was dead. And after hearing the stories on the news about Wendy's in Greenville, we're thinking, you know, are all restaurants in Greenville like this? Is that why no one is here? So my wife said something to the manager, and he says, no, he says, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and he said, we were just swamped. So he said, you know, it was just all yesterday. Well, they didn't have the pizzas ready yet. They didn't even have one done yet, so we had to wait as they come out of the oven. And then in back, no one was keeping track of what they were making. So they got all mixed up. And so, well, we finally ended up with the right pizzas, but it was much later than we thought. But when I had to go back and wait for some correct pizzas, that phone was ringing constantly, constantly. And their counter was lined with slips taped to it. And the manager was on the phone taking orders, and he was telling people, a person called in and wanted a delivery, and he says, the first thing he said was, it's going to be an hour and a half. Do you still want it? And then people were calling in about pickup orders, and he was saying, the first thing was, it's going to be an hour before we can get you a pizza. You know, do you still want to order? And I mean, the phone ringing off the hook. Just a person's on the phone and it's still ringing. I thought, wow, talk about a stressful situation. I don't think I would like that. But you know what? Sometimes we don't answer God's phone because we haven't been shook up. We haven't seen the holiness of God. We've just been doing kind of the party life, and we're just kind of comfortable doing the party life. Isaiah gave himself to the Lord. Here am I, send me, because he had seen the Lord in his holiness. You know, there's great lamenting about America sending out so few missionaries anymore. Pastor Jeremy has mentioned, actually, Mexico is sending out a lot of missionaries now. The Philippines are sending out a lot of missionaries. I don't know what country. Maybe, do you know, Pastor Jeremy, what country is sending the most missionaries right now? I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm sure someone has some stats on that, but it might not be us anymore. And people are sitting back lamenting. Maybe we need to go to Isaiah chapter 6 and find out why. Because we're just too comfortable in our party atmosphere to actually leave the comfort that we have. Now in Isaiah's situation here, like the formerly demon-possessed man, Isaiah gave himself to the Lord, and God did not call Isaiah to go to a foreign field. So, you know, don't be fearful, just be willing. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what Isaiah said, here am I, send me. So in verse 9, God speaking, he said, go and tell who? This people, that is Israel. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So he said, verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Okay, next Sunday morning, we're just going to feed you a bunch of food so you can get nice and fat, and then we're just going to talk real softly, and hopefully you'll go to sleep. And we're going to give you earmuffs so you can plug your ears just to make sure you don't hear me. And so you can be nice and fat. You can be drowsy. You can go to sleep. And then when it's over, we'll wake you up so you can go home. How's that sound? Well, what did God tell them? Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears what? Heavy and what? Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Well, that's kind of a strange commission, isn't it? I mean, after Isaiah sees the holiness of God and the shaking and offers himself to the God, he's not quite expecting this. Well, I was volunteering to actually do something, Lord. Verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? So he's saying, wait a minute. I'm supposed to make these people fat. I'm supposed to make them drowsy. I'm supposed to make them so they don't hear. Okay, how long is that supposed to last? Well, verse 11, he goes on, God answered, until the cities be what? Wasted without inhabitant, and the houses what? Without man, and the land what? Utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. We're talking about here Isaiah prophesying, and you know what? Israel's not going to listen. They're not going to listen. They're going to be deported. See, it comes right into Jeremiah, Ezekiel. And if we had time, we'd look at their calls. In fact, why don't we do that? Well, let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. These men are going to be doing the same thing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I what? Knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I what? Sanctify thee. Sanctify means what? Set apart. Do you know that before we were come out of our mother's wombs, that God had set us apart for some specific task? I don't know what that task is. But God, before each of us were born, God set us apart for something He wanted done. Last night, we were playing a game. And one of the games was a question. And my wife and I talked about it. But it was about Valentine's. What occupations are, I don't know if it was most well-known or what, for receiving Valentine's? And, there was secretaries and nurses. And my wife and I mentioned housewives, but we thought, oh, they'll never say that's an occupation. Well, and no one guessed it, did they, that name? But that was on the list, housewives. It was on the list. So if God has called you to be a housewife, don't run that down. That's what God has sanctified you for, to set apart you for. And then he goes on to say, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I what? Cannot speak, for I what? Am a child. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And on he goes in Jeremiah's life. And then looking at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. God is using all of these men to try to reach Israel. Where were they? Isaiah is speaking to the people, prophesying ahead of the fact. Jeremiah is living when the deportation happens. He's living in Israel. Ezekiel is one of the ones that was taken captive when they were deported over to Babylon. But you see, they were all sanctified to the Lord. They were all set apart. They all had a calling of God for some specific reason. But in Ezekiel, let's go to chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. In verse 3, Ezekiel 2:3, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel to a what? Rebellious nation. Does that fit the United States of America? Oh, yes. That hath rebelled against me, they and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do what? Send thee unto them. And thou shalt say to them, Thus saith the Lord God. And whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Look in chapter 3, in verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of what? A strange speech, and of an hard language, but to who? The house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they what? Would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Ezekiel was called to go to his own people in a group that had gone to a foreign land. But God told him, I'm calling you to go to your people. He says, if I would have called you to go to someone of a foreign language, they would have listened. But I'm calling you to go to Israel, and I'm telling you right now, they will not listen. But I want you to listen to me, and I want you to give them my words. That was God's calling for Ezekiel's life. What is God's calling for us? Back in Luke 10, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, in verse 42, Luke 10, 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It was Martha that invited Jesus into the home. It was Martha that was serving. It was Mary that was sitting at Jesus' feet listening. God touched Martha's heart to be hospitable, to open her home to Jesus and the disciples. God put it on her heart. That was her obligation. That was her service for the Lord. She should have done it gladly, but she looked at her sister. And my sister isn't helping. Jesus, aren't you going to make my sister get up and help? Listen, what God calls us to do, don't get mad that someone else isn't doing it. And maybe isn't even offering to help do it. Listen, when God moves in our hearts to do something, let's do it gladly. You know, we're going to be judged one day according to the sort of our works. Philippians 2:14, or do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do it gladly. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. God has called each of us to be salt. Matthew 5:13. The Bible says, ye are what? The salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his what? Savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. How many of you would describe a potato as bland in taste? I mean, no topping on it, nothing. How many would describe a potato as rather bland in taste? Okay. All right, I think most people. Okay. Now, why is it then that they can slice potatoes very thin and put them in a bag and people buy those bland things and eat them? In fact, some even advertise you can't eat just one. What is there about those thinly sliced, bland potatoes that people just can't stop eating them? Salt. It's the salt. We don't necessarily just get a bag of no-salt potato chips and see if you like them. Maybe you will. I don't know. It's the salt that keeps you coming back for more and more and more, and probably too much. Same with crackers, certain types of crackers anyway. The salt, it's the salt on them. Well, in verse 16 or verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. What is our job? You know, before they had the refrigerators and freezers, there were certain types of meat that they would put in barrels with lots of salt and just permeate the meat with salt to preserve. Listen, we are needed on this earth as God's people to preserve what is right and what is good. That's our job. You know what? If you got a bag of potato chips and they were just regular ones, and you found out that there was no salt on them or some weird white stuff that had no savor to it, no salty taste, you'd take it back or you'd throw it away, one or the other. We are the salt of the earth. As Christians, we are to have a preserving effect wherever we are, whether it's at work, in our community, neighbors, wherever. We should have a preserving effect to our lives. So we're going to be noticed. And what is the result of consuming a fair amount of salt? Thirst. Thirst. We get thirsty. And so that's our goal as Christians. God has set each of us apart. He sanctified us to be salt. So there's no such thing as being a Christian inconspicuous. If we're doing the will of God, we're going to be salt. We're going to have a purifying effect wherever we go. And that's the goal, is to make people thirsty and want more. But let's notice in Colossians chapter 4. And we all know, as Christians, we can burn people. You know, you get a little cut on your hand, on your finger, or on your lip, maybe on your tongue, and start eating those potato chips, and it's going to burn. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with what? Grace, seasoned with what? Salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You drink salt water, you're going to have physical problems. That's too much salt. And if we just dump the salt on people, they're only going to get mad. So it's seasoned. Our speech always with grace. Tell them God bless you. It might shock them. It's probably going to be the only time they hear God's name in a good way that day. Probably that week. Tell them, God bless you. Give them a little salt. Give them lots of grace, a little salt. And make them thirsty for the living water. And that living water is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect and pure Son of God. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect life on earth and died on the cross for our sins. Was buried and rose again, proving that His blood paid the price for our sin. Because the wages of sin is what? Death. He paid the wage, and He what? He came back to life. So His blood paid the debt. It's by faith in Jesus and His blood shed for us that we are cleansed from all of our sins. So may God help us this week to make people thirsty for the Lord. And may we do our reasonable thing. Lord, please take me. Use me. If it's on a foreign field, give me the grace to learn the language. If it's in America, give me the grace to continue on despite the rejection. But Lord, I will do what you want me to do, where you want me to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us. Help that to be the desire of our hearts. Lord, if there are any ones here today that have never come to Jesus for salvation, help them to receive you today. We pray in Jesus' name.